Testing.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, Chair, it would appear that we've got a lot of information in terms of what has been done since the declaration in 2008. And it even raises even more questions about why we were unable to present a report on what we've done. And if I go back to the reasons given about the shift and therefore the inefficiency, it's simply unacceptable, Chairperson. It's not a reason for something as important as that report to have fallen through the cracks, because when one function is moved from one department to another, and in this instance I think the chief director moved along with it, there was absolutely no reason why nothing was done. And I think when we do get that report, that we need to interrogate it and find out exactly, because it's almost like somebody tried to sabotage the whole thing rather than inefficiency. Having said that, Chair, I've just got some questions regarding the actual presentation. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to get answers, but I'm going to put them nevertheless, because we can probably get something in the future. And it's a pity we don't have slide numbers or even page numbers. It's going to make it somewhat difficult. But on the progress made, and it's the very first chart that says challenge and action, and it's page, I think the fourth page of the actual presentation that we got. My question is that the very last sentence, we talk about the 2009-10 financial year schools that were served with water and then sanitation respectively. And I'm just wondering, it would be nice to know against what sort of backlog that we reach those particular targets. In other words, it was X amount, we've now done this much of X, so that leaves us with Y. Then, in terms of the jobs, Chairperson, I'm a bit surprised that it escalates and it changes quite drastically from 2008-09 to 2010-11. And in fact, it goes down quite a lot. Well, one would expect it to increase as the program picks up momentum. And for the 2010-11, there's actually, you can see some provinces, three provinces, in fact, have got zero. Whether it was just a question of them not reporting, or does it actually mean that nothing actually happened there? Because if there were no jobs created, it means that nothing was done. Then the other thing that sort of puts a question mark for me is, again, related to the job creation progress. And it says for 2011-2012, now we're still in the 2011 year, and yet it talks about so many jobs, and the question mark is, it repeatedly says reportedly created. So my question then is, does the job sort of get verified at some point, and where in this case it wasn't, and that's why they're putting reportedly, as if it's not final yet, it hasn't been checked, and if so, how do they verify the jobs that have been created? And I presume it's obviously not a sustainable job, it's only for the duration of whatever program takes place at whatever municipality. Then, Chair, it's very difficult, I can't direct you to a slide, but it's got to do with the development of the national master plans. Now, I can foresee problems here, because it says the Department of Water Affairs is coordinating provincial sector plans on water and sanitation. Now, we've seen what sort of problems we're getting with the transfer of sanitation, but now we've got Water Affairs that's coordinating the provincial plans for both. So I think some sort of clarity, either there's going to be some synergy and working together, or perhaps the our department needs to then look at the provincial sector plans on sanitation. Although it's quite difficult to divorce the two, as has been said. Then mention is made of the development of a South African sanitation policy. I'd like to know, when was this started? What is the status of this policy? Is it something that can go out there to stakeholders to give input? Has it been done? When will it be ready? Again, assessment of feasibility and appropriateness of current solutions. Now, I think that's very important. I'm glad to see that they're assessing current solutions, but we need to know what the status is on the current solutions. Is there things that are being done that works, that's going to be improved? Are there things that are not, that are going to be discontinued for one or other reason? It's not quite complete, that. Then the Sanitation Technology Center, I'd like to know what their mandate is. What exactly are they going to be doing in this whole scheme of things? The project that's been piloted in the Eastern Cape, sanitation and hygiene, when was this done? What type of project is it? Because in the end, when the presentation was made about the echo beneficiation, it didn't refer to the Eastern Cape. It referred to, or it may have very well have, with Buffalo City, I suppose. So, again, I think at some point we need more information on exactly what's being done and what is working and what isn't working. Then, if I may just raise just two more issues, Chair. The Global Hand Washing Day. I mean, this presentation talks about special days that were observed. Quite honestly, unless I'm not living in South Africa, the first time I became aware of this was at the conference. And so I'm not too sure what either the Department of Water Affairs in the past or what Human Settlements is doing about these sort of special event days. But we certainly, to my knowledge, have not had much publicity around Global Hand Washing Day, or in fact, World Toilet Day for that matter. And then lastly, Chair, if I may just, I in fact, strangely enough, just this past week, read an article in the Etiquini municipality, which I did bring with me because I wanted to draw the committee's attention to it. But it talks very appreciatively of the urine diversion toilets that are being done in Etiquini. And yet, although Neville somewhat touched on it, he seemed to say that the project doesn't work. According to this article, this project should be done across the country, really, in rural areas where there's a lack of water. At the assessment here by an NGO says that it's very successful. And if I may just quote one line, these urine diversion toilets are better suited for water-strapped semi-rural areas than the conventional pit latrines. They require a little water, are more hygienic, and have environmental benefits. And I'm surprised then that we're not pushing something like this, putting a lot more effort into it, because that is where it's needed. It's in those rural areas where we've seen, where people don't have water, where it would appear that something like this would work. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Another comment?
Thank you, Chairperson. The Honourable Steyn, I think, has spoken for all of us, with all that big input that he made there. But I think I do want to pick up on just a couple of things, because he's actually picked up on a lot of what is questions for me. And the very thing about the job creation, but I think first let me say that you've picked up in your challenges already, actually, you know, what is facing this department and the things that need to be attended to. And we're grateful for this big overview that you've given us, but it's a massive amount of information that we actually need to sift through. And I think for me, basically, and this is always my song, you know, we can't measure what isn't quantifiable. And I'm just wondering that with the, and my, I have a question here, you know, Have we done an audit of municipalities, for example, who have the sanitation program, those that don't have the sanitation program, and are we working on those that don't have a sanitation program? So, you know, those are some of the sort of things. Now, COCTA has done a huge audit of municipalities, and my understanding is that we know exactly what's going on in municipalities. So I don't think it's anything that the department has to go out and do. It's there. And I'm just saying, can we utilize that information to bring it, you know, to the to this committee? And I mean, that applies not only to municipalities that, you know, have a sanitation program, but it applies also to an audit of what we've got out there by way of sanitation, and what sort of sanitation we're using. And I'm talking now from the experience of going on the ground. When we go and see, for example, flush toilets that don't work because there's no water, you know, and now, if we knew what we were working with, surely we wouldn't have put in toilets like that, or we would have seen that there was water and you know, that there was some sort of thing that works together, synergy, you know. And then I also am picking up on the fact of the job creation going from 140,000 in 2008 or something to 30,000. In 2010-11. So I think that's one other thing. And then on the dilapidating infrastructure, and you've picked up on this, and the maintenance, somewhere there's going to have to be a better education or something. You know, people are using flush toilets, and because they can't afford toilet paper, and this is what we're finding on the ground, they're using anything from newspaper to whatever's available. Now, you can't be pushing that kind of stuff down a flush toilet. So, you know, then do we perhaps, should we be looking at something else, or should we be doing better training, equipping people better before we actually install these things? So, yeah, the problems are great. And then you talk about in the regional bulk program under that dilapidating infrastructure and maintenance, the capacity building tools have been developed for councillors. I'd be very interested in that. What have you developed, these building tools that have been developed for councillors? Because they are the ones right there on the ground trying to deal with it. I also want to just refer to this letter that's being prepared. I think that letter should have been here at this meeting today. There's no reason why we shouldn't have had the reasons, you know, and that it's got to be a long, drawn-out thing. I want to just, and I know that this is a strange thing, I want to refer to these ecological solutions. For a long time, people have been making compost to grow their vegetables and gardens and everything else. And so, whilst for a section of the community this may be a very new concept, I think it is something that needs to be thoroughly looked at. And what I want to ask you is that, and I mean, I haven't done anything on the feces and the urine thing. I'm talking about vegetable waste and stuff like that. So my question would be, do we have already a model, something that's been put into practice in other countries, somewhere else, where they've used this method? I know you've referred to, you know, trying to work on these things, but is there somewhere in a country where they've used it and it's working well? I hear your caution, you know, about the problem of bacteria and that in it, you know, having a long life in the feces. Perhaps, you know, so I'm not saying we must go ahead regardless. I'm saying, you know, what homework has been done in other countries on this? because I think it possibly could assist us. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Stole, to be followed by Honourable Doris. Those are the hands that I have seen. Honourable Richard. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, first, I there is no numbers on this slide. But first of all, I want to congratulate the department. These figures are the right figures. If they say the backlog was reduced from 5 million to 2.7 million, it is not necessary. I don't know, or these figures are the right figures, or they just thumb-sucking, I don't know. Another change under job creation. If you can check here on committee from commitment from 2008 to date on job creation progress, it just shows that there was nothing in Gauteng and in KwaZulu-Natal and Northwest. So what I want to find out the reason behind this, if there is no job creation to all these provinces. And the other one, Chair, is on skill development. On Free State, there was nothing that was been, there was no skill development in Free State and Mpumalanga and Northwest. And but if you check here, Chair, on Mpumalanga, it shows that the total is 1.569. But if you can check, there is nothing on women's, men's, and women. But I don't know where does that figure come from, if they can give us those figures. The Northwest skip development, it shows there are 473, but there was no for this accredited training. But there's no figures on women and men and youth, but there's some 473 figures. If they can give us some. And Chair, on free basic sanitation strategy, which was shows that was the minister was being rolled, this sanitation was being rolled out to municipality for implementation in 2009. If they can give us some those municipalities which are implementing this program. And then others, Chair, the last one is submitting of annual implementation plans. If they can give us how many municipalities have been submitted those annual implementation plans. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. When it comes to schools and clinics, I'd like to differ with the department. What I mean by that is that there are areas, the deep rural areas, where schools doesn't have sanitation to date. I mean high schools. So I differ with you, Neva. There's still a huge of backlog in these areas. Then with this on a slide where you said progress made in the implementation of Etegwin comments from 2008 to date, you said whilst 27,485 people were reached with health and hygiene. I don't understand that statement. If you can clarify it, then I'll also like to differ with you, Neville, on this. On the two pages that you gave us, where you said, through the collaboration of enhancing sanitation delivery, South Africa has met the MDGs on water and sanitation. I think this is just a pipe dream. We are still far from reaching this goal. Thank you, Chair.
Two small areas that I want to raise, and then one area really is how do we compare with countries at the same developmental level with us? Generally middle income countries, how do you compare? And the point that also Dlamini has touched on is because I thought we are on our way to meet the development, Millennium Developmental Goals, but it seems the point that we are raising that we have already met. I understood that it's still going to take us some time, given the situation on the ground. And also the question of schools in rural areas. I think we are mindful, all of us, really, that there are a lot of schools in rural areas that have not been provided with sanitation. I do take a point, of course, that sanitation and water, we can't separate the two generally in terms of understanding what is sanitation and also water playing a critical role in that. I agree on that, that we need a thorough coordination. I'm not sure how does it work, the two departments really, in coordinating that. And because a lot of schools, anyway, I think you're aware enough. But I think the issue of eco-benefication, and then I just guess that we will need an education in general to deal with these matters in communities. Because I guess that all societies have gone through this process of development and also some superstition. But as they get more education, I think they will change. Really, I don't think we should wait until they change. But another thing that I wanted just to raise is an issue never that I think is a bigger problem general to all of us. In fact, I've just learned now that it is important to take an evidence-based approach, because on many occasions, what we see on the ground is not what is on the paper. Sometimes there's a huge problem. What is given to us, in fact, I think I'm making this as an example, I may be wrong, that we went to Mpumalanga, somewhere in rural areas of Mpumalanga, caught in the name of a place. But the point that was raised there, that there were 500 toilets that were built. But at a practical level, only one toilet that we saw. It may happen that others are built somewhere, we couldn't reach the area. I'm not saying they were not there, but I'm saying only one that we saw. And also other colleagues, really, who are also doing oversight function, they're coming with many things, really, that worries all of us. That report are given to members of parliament, but when they go and see the actual thing, they're not there. In fact, in other areas, they are told that there's a school, and then they go there to look for the school. The school is nowhere. Maybe it's in somewhere in Jerusalem, but not really where it's supposed to be. In other areas, people are told that there are bridges that are built, but when they go there, there's no bridge right across the river. This is a really bigger problem, because if members of parliament start to doubt the administration, it creates a huge problem, because it's about the credibility of us as members of parliament, but also it's about the credibility of administration, whether they give us what they think is good for us and to consume, and when we go and see this thing really, because don't forget that if you say to us, we are provided, we are almost reaching the Millennium Goal, even before 2050. The likelihood for us really is to go all out and say, South Africa is a country, we are reaching this goal now. But if you go down really the evidence-based approach, nothing that is there. In fact, it makes all of us fools, generally really speaking, but I'm not sure, I'm not saying that you are doing that nervous, but my experience now is just again to say, I think as members of parliament, I think evidence-based approach never is the best way of doing things now. That before we believe that there's a thing that is there, we must see it ourselves. When they are talking about this, the stained toilet somewhere in Durban, but we must see this thing ourselves working. You know? Because it's one thing to report it on the paper and one thing to see it. That's what worries me. Because if the credibility is not there, will be very difficult for members of parliament who play their very meaningful role. But I'm just here. I think that the department may be still trying to put the house in order, organizing thing and coordinating their work. Because on many issues, really, I do think that we are still far behind. That would be my view, Chair, that we are still far behind. And then I hope that, as you are saying, that you are almost reaching our goals, is really based on real evidence, tangible evidence that all of us can see. And then, because if we don't, really, I think we must be able to say we are 75% on our way to reach the Millennium Goals. There are these difficulties that we are facing and many challenges. Because some of the challenges, in fact, we have highlighted them here. And then I guess that for we can't reach already, that is, Millennium Goal, of course, we are expected to do that in 2015, if I'm not mistaken. But 2011, 4 years before 2015, it seems we are saying we have already reached that goal. Therefore, simply that we have done extremely well. But the challenges that we are highlighting here, they simply contradict exactly what you are trying to say. And then it gives some problem in terms of my own understanding on this matter. But I accept that a lot of challenges, Chair. And I really want to make this appeal that, and I know that is a new thing for a Department of Human Settlement, but also there are staff that are there. They must be able to execute what they're supposed to do. And then we should see this thing, Chair, on the ground, because if we don't see them on the ground, because if we visit anyway, Chair, we do have this thing with us when we go, and then sometimes you are told that in farmland, is what has been happening. We got the notes with us. We look at them, look at the notes. It doesn't correspond. And therefore, it's a bigger problem, Chair. I'm just making an appeal, really, not a general question, because I think there will be no question for me, at least, having the fact that we have been visiting many of these rural areas. Some of the areas that are highlighted here, challenges are correct. But in terms of progress made, it's really something that we have to debate and find real information that will correspond, and also just to give evidence. Even job creation, Chair, because we'll be a very fine situation that in the initial stages, we create more jobs. As we advance, we create less jobs. And unless we are scaling it down, I thought that implementation would scale it up, because I think there's a lot of demand for this sanitation in many parts of the area. And then also coordination with Department of Education, Chair, I think it will be very critical. Particularly for national or international days, because I agree with Stain, really, that I was not aware about hand washing, all these things, but I saw it here on the report. And it simply means that it's written right on the report, but it was not really general canvassed and campaigned, just to make sure that the schools are aware of it in order for us to deal with the whole issue of hygiene and sanitation. And then I hope that next year, Chair, we'll be able to have a program, particularly around the international days. And therefore, at least we should be able to talk about them, because I think they're very critical, Chair. If we do that, I think it will assist us a lot to start addressing some of the challenges that I think never also we are trying to capture in terms of your documentation. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Mashishi.
Thank you, Chairperson. My question is on the sanitation collaboration structures. You said on this document that at local government level, not all municipalities have dedicated sanitation collaboration structures. I want to know which are those districts and from which provinces. And then I think this question will go hand in glove with the one that on this document that you have given us, the two pages that you have given us, that I want to know about the 17 municipalities that have been piloted. I want to know those municipalities, and even the last bullet that it will be piloted in 23 municipalities, if maybe we can get the breakdown. I don't think maybe we can get it now or when, but I want to know about it. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is but just a comment. In the Northern Cape, in the John Talo Heights area at the moment, there's a campaign. People are grabbing whatever the piece of land they come across.
Now, for as long as we have no informal settlements established, we are still going to have a challenge dealing with curbing the bucket system. Thank you. We must take that into consideration as we give reports.
Oh, okay. Yeah, indoda enkulu yasemazizini. Chairperson, thank you very much. Firstly, Chairperson, it's not about the presentation that I'm going to ask. I just want to find out how is the relationship between the Human Settlement Department and the Sanitation and Water? Because I think if these two departments don't talk to each other, we're going to suffer like anything. Then I just want to ask a question on eThekwini commitment skills development, where I find KwaZulu-Natal, you got 0-0 and then you've got 19. Just to get explanation about that. And then training progress in 2010-11, in Mpumalanga you've got 20 and then total is 181. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. My comments, I'm going to be the last one. Honorable members, I find it very embarrassing to get a report that states that there is nothing that has been done in terms of uplifting the conditions or the lives of people with disabilities. If you are looking at this report, when it comes to the issue of disabilities, it's either 0000 up to down, or it's just a minimal figure. So I don't think this is acceptable in this country. And then coming to this report, you'll find that I'm referring to the issue that was raised by the whip in terms of the credibility. You'll find that in these columns there's 0000000 and then at the end you find the total and then you'll find the figures. So you don't understand what does it mean. You can't interpret. That is something that you cannot be able to report about. The issue of sanitation in schools, you know, I'm worried because when you raise these issues with the department, you don't even receive respond as members of parliament. Why I'm raising that? I think honorable members, when are raising issues from their constituencies and they raise them directly with the department, we deserve a courtesy. I'll make an example of Honorable Lagute. Honorable Lagute brought an attention of a serious matter in her constituency area. And I wrote a letter to the department. I never received any response. I think it was last year. I also brought an issue of Mshesh High School. Those facilities, they are a disgrace. Those children are most of the communities, they prefer to use open defecation because of the conditions of those toilets. With those toilets, we spend a lot of money, then we'll come and say, yeah, we've built toilets. as Honorable Richard was mentioning, when you get back on the ground, you will find something else. So you cannot raise your head high and say, we have delivered. People are going to mangalela and go to Teta Ngandun. Yes. Mangalela. What are you talking about? I will relate to the issue of the Palestine in Mpumalanga. Can you really say, Simbenje sitting at the Palestine, we have provided toilets? When you get into a house, you find somebody's bed here, sleeping here. And then you find a toilet here. There's no door. Can you really be proud of saying you have delivered a toilet to that particular person? What about her dignity? Can you really say we have delivered toilets when you go to Sisonke District Municipality? In Ibis, and as well as in the Umzimkhulu Clydesdale area, can you really say you have provided facilities in Impumalanga, in Bali, in Maritzburg? The toilet is there, and there is no drainage, there's nowhere that thing can go out, so it's just staying there. And then people pick up that is a bucket system I've ever had. They pick up those issues with their buckets and throw them in the bush. Can you really be proud of yourself to say you have delivered? There's quite a lot that we can mention. Now we are faced here with a challenge. And I won't accept the statement that will say this was under the department of so-and-so. I'm talking to government as a whole. I'm bringing this attention to government. Now you come here and present a good report. You expect us as members of parliament, senior public, city, uhulumente wethu, senze okunokunoku. Bani ozawubonakala esisidenge? Pa, citizens. It's you, administration, or it's us. As public representatives. At this point I'm raising, it also relates to the first statement where we are being told that there has been a reduction in the number of households with no sanitation. That is not true. And at this point in time, we cannot say where there's a reduction. More especially that we still have the population growth. We are not talking about this because this is one of the issues. Facilities. Equality yazo, ne sustainability, the maintenance yezo toilet. Let alone the equity. Yoba ku rural areas senzantoni, nakwi urban areas. But ama members have raised the issue even kwi urban areas. You will find that there are toilets but they're not connected. So how do you justify interfere? So the effectiveness of implementing these programs it's really, really a challenge. But when I want to drive to the department, you know, this issue of saying government must also be ready. Government. You cannot, you know, not call it disruptions good because you are there, you are remaining there. Other officials, you call officials in a capacity, a human settlements, never. What is the difference? Quick, official, a seventh, the water, the seventh, the human settlements. Because most of these skills, the puzzles, that are utilized there. So I don't understand why we are putting this excuse. What is important is to ensure that you talk to each other. The issue of water not separated with sanitation, that argument must stop. Because now you are trying to raise the argument unnecessarily. And then he says, that argument, honorable members, is unnecessary. The reason why I'm saying that, these officials, whoever, when they relate to this matter, this thing is political. Don't get into things that are not your field. Do the work what we have been given. While I'm raising this, when we were on the way to Kigali, there were officials from the other institutions, and they were saying the Department of Human Settlements has got no capacity to run this program. Now it has to be brought back to Water Affairs. I said to that official, you know, if you are saying we are going to that meeting, that conference, you are going to raise those things. That is very much unfortunate because there are no other states. They have the right to detect, to to dictate to the head of state what my delegated and any functions the country. So if you persistently raise this matter, other people will take it otherwise. That is not your field. The president has spoken. Where the water is there, where the sanitation is there, it's not your baby as administration. So that is why I'm saying that agenda must stop. What is required from you is to collaborate when you are planning at national level with all these respective stakeholders that you share this function. If you are doing sanitation, we know that water should be there. We know that infrastructure should be there. We know that we do have a budget that is allocated to education for the same function. So, as honorable was saying there, all those departments, when you are playing at the national level, but you are the leading department in terms of sanitation. No one is leading. I expect this committee in Gaza must call a lot. You are leading sanitation. But you have to band together with others, so that the distribution of resources must be effective. It's going to assist that all those resources that are there, and with quota, must be be distributed fairly. That's why we're going to find the duplication of services on the ground. And then the national strategy, you must collaborate. When it comes to, I don't know whether there's any legislation, I'm not sure, because there's nothing that talks to the sanitation legislation. So if there's nothing, if there was in water affairs, why can't you sit down and transfer that to human settlements? You have referred together. Why can't you do that? What is difficult for you to do that? Welcome to Kennedy in the Western busy, but what are you busy if you cannot materialize? But at the end of the day, the president has to say something. If the work is not done, so those collaborative meetings, we have to develop a comprehensive, effective communication strategy. You don't have it. Those issues are very, very critical. We have a rush policy. Do we have a hand wash policy? A national policy on hand wash? Or just do it? Where is that policy? We need to see those policies. And if it's still sitting there, bring it back and then refer it. Otherwise, we are going nowhere. And I would suggest that let's withdraw that statement that saying, we have met the MDG goals. I don't want to hear that. We have not yet. We are far. Let's see, we throw that statement in this report. Bear in mind that there are still toilets that are revealed, uncovered. Can you say that we are there? What we need from the department, we need a national consolidated report on the status of sanitation in this country. It means now we are starting afresh for me, as if nothing has happened, but we have to do it. Those research units that you have in your department, what are they doing? We pump funds every day. We vote, parents vote for funds every year. The research unit is doing, if there are still such conditions that we found on the ground. So please, please, please. Uga watching the nyani come to Richard. Who is fooling who up? Money. Because at the end of the day, the communities, they don't point fingers to the officials. They fight with politicians. And officials, Mr. Zabo, umandi, umulima, to take a directive. And then we move. I don't know what to do with that. I'm going to tell you that. That's all. I call this divansayo after hours. Call our master referees in. Let's talk to each other. Determine whether our department is a Pretoria again. And tell you, you are going to call a lot of women within the department. They said, I tell you, they said, you pull the man, you are a champion. You must lead. Take a lead in this sanitation. Take a lead. I want to see you. Nip and Neva. We Department of Human Settlements taking a lead. The President has spoken. I thank you.
Response to some areas that they need to respond.
Thanks, Chair. There's a substantial amount of the points, and I don't mean to be, there's a substantial amount of requests for information which we'll provide. So I'll just, on the issues regarding the job creation versus the skills development, the numbers, how they add up, where the focus of attention is, that will do. There was a question around the question of the schools, what were the initial backlogs, so what has the impact been, that will address. The types of jobs created. Chair, what I just need to sort of indicate, and it was the clarity and the working relationship with the Department of Water Affairs. What I need to explain is that as part of the Outcome 8 delivery agreement signed by the Minister, as well as the Outcome 9 delivery agreement signed by the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, we set up what is called a joint task team on human settlements and basic services. That is jointly chaired by the DG of Human Settlements and the DG of COCTA. Part of the departments that form part of that is Sport and Recreation, Water Affairs, Electricity, Energy, all the basic services, transport. So they form part of that. That has necessitated, so that's all the national sector departments together with the provinces as well as the districts. So it forms part of that planning process. Chair, what I also need to indicate is that we've, during the course of, I stand corrected here, but I know it was during the course of this year, we held a joint technical MINMEC between ourselves, Minister Sekwale, Minister Mulewa, and Minister Natim Tetwa is the acting minister for COCTA. So the relationship, what I need to indicate is there is a very good, sound relationship between Water Affairs and ourselves. And I think I raised the issue around the interdependencies between the departments. So it was no way to say that sanitation is not the responsibility. We take it very seriously, and it is there. What we need to emphasize is that there's interdependencies because Water Affairs deals with bulk and link, and we deal with the household. And that responsibility we fully undertaken to resolve. So I don't want to create the impression that there's no working. There's an excellent working relationship. I think the point is that individual viewpoints about those issues are not issues that we entertain. I think there's a policy, there's a directive, and we deal with it. In relation to the South African sanitation policy, there is a white paper on sanitation, and we've indicated that that white paper is in the process of being reviewed because it needs to be updated. So that's what that is. It's not like there is no sanitation policy. There is a sanitation policy. It's supplemented by the Water Services Act, which allocates. The one big issue around sanitation is just how the understanding and how that's been articulated. And perhaps, maybe, Chair, what we need to do is just indicate what the national, provincial, and local and municipal roles, particularly around water services authorities, those kinds of things, because that clouds all this issue about capacity and all that. The point is there's a collective state government responsibility, and the National Department of Human Settlements leads that process. It's the point of reference. On the issue of the global washing and hygiene days, there has been initiatives, and I think one of the points that's been raised particularly around this and which we've raised is just the ability of how we've been able to communicate and market those days. because particularly the health and the hygiene issue is a crucial, fundamental, primary activity in the entire sanitation value chain, because that's where it starts. It starts from community awareness around that. The same thing with the World Toilet Day, and yes, I think we can do more, and Mandisa might want to comment on that issue. The issue of urine diversion, which Member Steyn referred to, there's the issue around and the sanitation, the eco-sanitation example that was used in Buffalo City and Kimberley, that relates to food production and the use of that excrement. The Itekwini one is around diversion in relation to grey water, because that does not translate into to utilization for food production or those issues. So what we must be able to separate is the eco-sanitation in relation to its composting and those, and the grey areas. And that share, what we've indicated is we've got the CSR, we've got the Water Research Council, and we need to be able to utilize them as state-led organizations to build and advise us on the technological, the hard technological issues, and that's part of the collaboration that will be done with them. The backlogs and the initiatives, I think the one other issue that we also need to, particularly in relation to backlogs, is differentiate between the inherited formal sanitation backlog that we got in 1994. So in 1994 we got residential areas which were formally proclaimed which had a bucket system, and that had to be eradicated. We then have a situation where in your informal settlements or your slums, you've got a sanitation backlog that exists. So that's the formal one, and then you've got the informal one. And I think in relation to the informal one, there's a substantial, I mean, that formal backlog equals to what the housing backlog or inadequate housing backlog. So if the inadequate backlog is, as we estimate it to be, 2.3 million households, then that's 2.3 million households that require formal sanitation, so that's what the backlog. The other 300,000 of that 2.7 million relates to the backyard checks. 2.3 million. That's what the informal settlement or the slums. Then you've got the rural, and then you've got the shack. So that's how that 2.7. So in no way, Chair, are we saying that we've reached a point where. And I think, I mean, it's unfortunate in relation to how the interpretation of whether we've met the MDG goals. I think what we must be. But must be clear is that the MDG spoke about halving the number of families. So if we want to spin, we can say that's what has happened. But in reality, we're not saying we've eradicated the sanitation backlog. No, that's not the case. As we sit here, that backlog sits approximately 2.7 million households who do not have sanitation, and it's not something that we can be proud of. It's not something that we are proud of. I think the issue is that we've just got to be able to undertake that. The dilapidated infrastructure issues, I mean, the operations and maintenance, as we've indicated, Water Affairs together with the Water Services Authority, as well as the interaction of the department, we're dealing with some of the issues around the question of sewer maintenance plants, sewer treatment plants, operation maintenance, and that. So that forms part of the collaboration that we've got with COCTA, because they're undertaking certain MIG funding to sort out the bulk and link infrastructure related to water and sanitation. So that I think what we need to indicate is that sometimes as the Human Settlements Department in our programs, we move ahead of the bulk and link infrastructure provision. So that's why you end up with situations where houses get built, but there's no formal connection in relation to water sanitation. And that's not optimum. That's poor planning, and it's issue that needs to be dealt with, particularly in relation, because we know that bulk. I've dealt with the issue of the ecological solutions. I think the point is that we're saying we need to encourage, because we're a water scarce country, we've got to be able to encourage ecologically sound sanitation solutions, which reduce reliance on water. But the point is that it needs to be. I think the issue is that we just need to be clear that in relation to challenges that we face as a country in relation to sanitation, a lot of developing countries are facing the same. And I think as a country we take sanitation for granted. You know, Jay, I mean, the one issue is that, you know, just if you take a country like India, I mean, sanitation becomes such a issue, particularly in relation to females, Chair, is that you'll find that the only time that the majority of women in India use sanitation facilities is between 1 o'clock and 5 o'clock in the morning, because that's the only time that they have some sense of privacy in relation to that. We're not in a situation where we can say we're much better, but I think what we need to be able to see, our backlogs are less, and we can eradicate them. With the correct political, administrative will, it's doable. In relation to the figures, I think I've said we will go back, look at those figures, particularly in relation to the job creation, because that's what's been reported. On the issue of the schools and the sanitation program, I mean, there are issues that we are now having to deal with relation to basic education, because there are challenges in relation to integration, coordination, and through this Human Settlements Basic Services Task Team, we can hopefully achieve that. Chair, I'm on the point of the evidence-based approach, we couldn't agree more. I think all our credibility is at stake, and more so politically, because we report those issues, and the believability of those issues are there. But I think it's again. I mean, I've noted all of the particular areas, and I'm sure those are not the only areas that are there. But I mean, I'll go back and we'll undertake to come back to as we have to what has been done in relation to the evidence-based approach that Member Mdakane has raised. I don't want to flag this, I mean, or flog this horse again, but the we're hoping that that program management unit creates credibility in relation to reporting, so that we can come here with confidence and say there's 5,000 families that have been provided with adequate, and we can say to you, you can go out and you can check that. That's the kind of confidence we want to be able to be able to report on those figures. I think the challenge that we have now is on the basis of the norms and standards that are there at provinces, at municipalities, and what we oversight. And in relation to our monitoring and reporting, they take dipsticks. I mean, it's not like every house or every toilet that it's on the basis of what gets signed off. And we've indicated, that we're going to be starting to take a tough stand in relation to the NHBRC having to now oversee the quality and the monitoring of the standards, particularly in relation to the sanitation program. Because their responsibility, as what we're saying, is not only in relation to houses. So we give them a standard and we're able to do that. But sure, I mean that's there. on the 17 municipalities and the 23 that have been there, we'll provide those numbers, Chair. On the John Taule, I mean, I think it's the point that we've raised around the question of the informal settlements. I mean, we've managed to deal with, to an extent, to just about eradicate the formal backlog, but we are increasingly being asked to respond to the slum sanitation backlogs, because families that are residing in informal settlements, we're saying we need to deal with the interim solution in relation to that. So if you look at, and there's some good practice, Itequini's come up with some of those interim solutions, but we're trying to balance that with the child on the disabilities. I mean we agree with you. I mean, those figures are not acceptable and they need improvement. The sanitation in schools, we've covered that point, Chair, in relation to saying that if we don't deal with the schools and the clinics backlog, because that's where you've got to lay your foundation, particularly in relation to sanitation. And it was one of the objectives of this program was to eradicate that sanitation and backlog. And I think that the point about the focus on the rural households, but the rural families include schools, and there's money there, and there's no reason for us to say that we cannot achieve that. The verification of the figures, I mean, I've dealt with that one. On the capacity and the skills, I think that the issue is that the transfer of the function in no way impacted on the ability of performance, or should not have affected it. And we're not using that as an excuse. I think that's the whole point, is we insource those skills. So yes, we need to do that. I just want to reiterate, Chair, that in no way is the department of the view that the sanitation program not supposed to be with the Human Settlements Department. That's not the view. I think the point is that given the Human Settlements function, it's just how you know, and I think those political questions, I think is inappropriate for me to address at this stage, but we have a political directive, and we're implementing that political directive. So I don't want to leave this committee with any, or I think I need to reiterate it and put your mind at rest. There's no intention to do that. As I've indicated, the relationships that we've built over the last, in fact, over the last 3 or 4 months, it's improved to a large extent between ourselves and Water Affairs. And you'll see that how that comes out, particularly in relation to some of the issues that Cabinet's put on. The allocation of resources and joint planning, the USDG does exactly that, Chair. It allows for the backlogs in relation to bulk infrastructure for water and sanitation. It allows for, and we've deliberately put that in there, so it allows for municipalities to go in and fix up those sewer plants that are there. So there's no reason for anyone to blame National, the Portfolio Committee, or the Minister for saying that they haven't been provided with the necessary funding resources to be able to do their work. I mean, we will come back to you, Chair, as you've requested, on the National Consolidated Report on Sanitation. I think what I mean, we'll clear up the discrepancies that are there in this report, particularly around some of the issues. But just to end off, sanitation is an important component of the Human Settlements Mandate. It's the cornerstone of that. I think if you call Water Affairs before you and you have them speak to you about some of the water resources issues, you'll get, I don't want to speak on them, but some of the sort of issues around what's happening. I mean, if you take for example, what's happening in Somalia and what happened in Sudan, it's about water. It's about the first war on about water. But we're not in that situation. We've got better resource management, mobilization abilities, and we owe it to ourselves and our communities to do better, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. There are follow-up questions. I've seen Honorable Bowman, Honorable Tlakude. Who else? Okay, Honorable Stay. Mandisa, I would like to, we will respond after we've got the follow-up questions. But what I wanted to see you all. This back, this 2.7 million backlog, does it include those toilets that you have built and they're in good condition? Because that's I want us to have a clear picture of what we're talking about. How do you classify those toilets that we are referring to? Where do they fall? Because they are not toilets, eh? They are there by name. People leave them and use, opt for authentication. So it means they don't have toilets. So I want to know from the point of view, from your side, because you know, these issues, they have to be, they have to come forward, to be brought forward, and then we bring up the solutions. So similarly, we are leaving them, we are moving forward with the 2.7, and yes, we agree that we are going to ensure that now there's quality assurance from the facilities that we are building now. But there's no plan to deal with those people that you have provided services, yet according to them, you have not. So I want us to come clear on this one.
Yes, that's exactly my point, but I'm going to follow on with that. I won't repeat that. And I think it's quite clear here. When you talk about the pre-94 in the formal areas to eradicate the bucket system, then you make a comment, we've almost done that. Now, that doesn't give us an idea of still the size of the problem. So if pre-94, that formal situation, we said there were, I don't know, said 5 million, okay? And by now, we've eradicated 4 million. So now what we have got left is 1 million. And where will we find those? And then we as a portfolio committee can at least go out there and do something, see what's going on. And I think that is what I'm talking about when I talk about quantifiable. Because unless we've got that, we don't know. And you don't know as a department if you haven't quantified what the problem is. And just this vague, almost done thing.
Thank you, Chair. Neville mentioned that there is money to deal with this backlog of sanitations at schools. So I have a problem with that because I don't understand who is supposed to implement that if there is a budget to deal with it. Yet there is nothing happening, especially at the very same school where I brought pictures of those of the state of the sanitation at that school. Still there is nothing happening. So I'm surprised to hear that there is a budget for that. Why is it not implemented? Maybe someone somewhere thinks that we are not coming back in the 2014. We are coming back.
for that school sanitation.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first comment, in fact, I want to put on behalf of this committee. And that is that I think the officials will have noticed that, you know, in the past, and I'm speaking generally now, not necessarily the officials from our department, but officials tend to come, and whether they give it the day before or as they prefer to, the day of the meeting, provide members with huge, thick presentations, lots of figures, and when we suffer from information overload, and we accept what's been given, and they walk out, and everybody gets a slap on the back, work well done, etc. I think our officials will have come to notice that this committee, irrespective of whether we get it the week before, the day before, or on the morning of the presentation, will interrogate the figures, will apply our minds as to what we see, and will question. And in light of that, I want to put to the department that when they prepare a report, whoever it is, they need to ask themselves, put themselves in our shoes, and ask themselves, what I'm writing here, do I believe it? Is it correct? Is there evidence to you know, do they just, as one of my colleagues said, do thumb sucking? They need to do that first, and it will save all of us a lot of embarrassment and a lot of unpleasantness. That's the first thing. Then the second thing, and Neville touched on it, and norms and standards. The department has got basic minimum norms and standards. And 17 years later, we still find that those norms and standards are not applied. Municipalities and provinces can go over and beyond that, and some of them do. But there's very many of them that we see that don't even have the basic minimum norms and standards. Now, coupled with that is that on every oversight visit that we go, there are officials from province, that municipality, and from national. They see exactly what we see. So it shouldn't take a committee meeting like this for us to tell the department that what we've seen on the ground doesn't tally with what you're giving us. Why are they going along with us and seeing what we're seeing and not taking it back to the department or the relevant chief director or the minister and saying there's a problem? The reports we get and what's on the ground doesn't tally. So it's something else that the department needs to work on. They send lots of officials with, I would like to think, specific mandates, and something needs to be done about that. It mustn't take us to sit here and say that this is wrong and that's not happening. Then, lastly, Chair, two things. This presentation made mention of an action plan with clear timelines and responsibilities that were submitted to the Minister's Council in 2008. And I'd like to ask that with the reports that we are going to be getting and the excuses and all sorts of things, that we need to get there as well, because we need to see what the timelines are. We need to see who's responsible for what, and we need to see what was committed to. And as a last comment, Chairperson, and we all know that we've moved beyond the situation where we've said, and you've said it as well, Neville, where we say, but we don't have the resources, we don't have the money. We've moved beyond that. We do have the resources. We do have the money. Why can't we, and some of the ministers have referred to this, why can't we get to a situation today like we did a year or 2 years ago with the stadiums that was built for the World Cup, which involved a multitude of professions, and yet they managed to do it on budget, on time, perfect jobs. And we can't seem to do this. It's a similar thing. We just need to talk to each other. We just need to plan better, and we need somebody that will program and manage this thing so that the one thing flows into the other. And that's what's needed, Chairperson. Okay. Thank you.
I think we can I'm going to forget this one.
Do you believe that you can accelerate the rollout of sanitation to ensure that 2.7, not necessarily receiving, but ensuring that at least a quarter or half can receive adequate sanitation, if you are utilizing only 2
service providers. Do you really believe, no, I don't care about the names. Do you really believe that you are serious? This year, 2010-11, are you aware that you have to also include in your sanitation program in rural areas water facilities where it is needed? Do you think you are up the mark? Do you have enough capacity? Thank you, Jay. This is my first experience.
No, don't worry. Feel free. Don't be nervous.
Yeah. I just want to add on what my boss has touched on. The marketing of the days and the celebrations that we have to do as the department with regards to sanitation or improving or putting sanitation on the top of the agenda of all the stakeholders. I would say normally we do celebrate these days, and last year we were graced by the presence of the chair at Joe Gabi, where we were celebrating the National Sanitation Day. I think there were some other members of parliament who were there at Stagsbridge. And we are using the media. For instance, last year, in partnership or in collaboration with UNICEF, we really tried to make it publicly known through the media the Global Hand Washing Day. It was broadcasted on SAFM. It was Radio 5, what is this thing? Yeah, I've forgotten, but when we respond, I will give you exactly the radio stations where this was published. And also on TV2, there was somebody last year was called Mr. Toilet, if you remember quite well, who came from Soweto. We tried, he was advocating the World Toilet Day. We are trying, but perhaps if you can vote us for more funds, perhaps we can really cast the net wider. Thank you very much.
Thanks. Okay. So just on the two points, on the norms and standards and the issue, I think on the norms and standards issue is that we've indicated, and it's one of the issues that we've raised, that there is a set of norms and standards that the Department of Human Settlements has in terms of the Housing Code, and that includes the one for the erection of a toilet structure. Your Water Services Authority has also, in respect of that, required to apply that. Now the point, Chair, is that even if you don't have that norms and standards, as some of the municipalities have said before this function came, the point was that in your right mind as an official, with the requisite technical experience and capacity, you must be able to know what is right, what is wrong, what is acceptable, and what is dignified, particularly in relation to provision. And we all know that is the way that it applies. So the norms and standards, as Member Stan, it's there, it clear, it indicates what the standards, what the size, what that is. And it's consistent with what human rights based institutions require. Chair, in relation to the issue of the capacity, It's not whether the department has the capacity, but the capacity exists out there for us to be able to upscale it. It's just, and it's an issue that you've raised with us, and we are in the process of taking cognizance of that in relation, because the sanitation issue is a big issue. I mean, if we don't deal with it within the next couple of years, in fact, if we don't deal with it before 2015, we're going to have not only a crisis in relation to health and hygiene, but water, as well as sustainability of those water resources, particularly around the issue of seepage into that. So it's a whole interlinked issue. It's not a question of do we want to. It's not a question of choice. There's no choice in the matter. It's a question of must. On the issue of the backlog, we've indicated that as part of the rectification program, we've got to include those toilets. So the toilets that you spoke about that do not meet the standards are not included in those figures, and will have to be included as part of the rectification process of that. So that's where that. I hope I've addressed those points, Chair. Thanks.
No.
Sorry, Chair, the one point, in relation to education, if members are aware that the Department of Education has got the basic infrastructure grant for this year, and they're responsible for that, and I'll take it up. I mean, I'll through your office, Chair, raise the issue of I'm assuming it's in Kumasi.
Kumasi and Alfred.
Okay. Okay. So I'll, but there is, I mean, and that program's specifically been, or that grant was specifically to deal with the backlog in relation to school infrastructure, including water and sanitation.
Hi, New London. Never the same thing. Chairperson, I wanted to say, Usisila Pa said that they flighted that hands washing go SAFM. So the rural people doesn't listen to SAFM. There are community radio stations they can use. Yeah, so SAFM, when you flight that on SAFM, you are targeting a certain number of people who doesn't need that lesson. So try it with the local radio station. Thanks.
And then that comprehensive communication strategy is going to assist you in identifying what in answer you. Each stakeholder, they know they are different. So as local radios, nama pepa na na, nama tena seru nama pepa pa, kutoi intoni, ifiva. Those smaller nyana media, institutions, muna tuninge zinzikulu because most of the issues are done on the ground and in the rural areas. Members, can't we close this now? Mr. Steyn.
One issue, I think maybe Neville misunderstood me. I wasn't asking if there were basic minimum norms and standards. I know they're there. My question is that very many municipalities and provinces don't even apply the minimum standards, and that is something the department should do something about. That was my point. They are there, but 17 years later, that minimum standard, and you raised the point of somebody sleeping here in the toilet being right next door with no wall or door between them. That is not minimum. That doesn't conform to our minimum standards. So something needs to be done to make sure, and it raises the issue that was raised in the meeting yesterday about the monitoring and the paying of money. That at the very that's why they call minimum standards need to be adhered to. Thank you.
I think we need time frames for other issues here, more especially the white paper. Mine of league. Not now, is on process. We need time frames. And also, was vicinity oversee course.
need time frames. And I think Dibali saying must be prioritized. I don't care, no man is many fans. I am a daughter. I know I are giving you a directive. Dibali saying, let's go away with the number one. Never. As Linga in the house, Blenela got sleep in his knees, but it depends on the sala and go, get on the lava up, go to toilet up. Do Malondo is healthy. So we are going to raise those issues even in our report, yeah, oversight. But now I want to bring this to your attention. I'm sure you are aware that we are preparing for the MDG summit. And this report, we are going to discuss this report next week in a workshop in Parliament, and all provinces will be here. So that is why we raise these issues. I don't know, I'll check if you are invited, but those the legislators are going to be here. We are having that workshop on the 19th and 20th. Are you invited?
Departments have been invited.
All right. So, as Parliament, as the Portfolio Committee, we have produced a report. I think we're going to pick up some of the issues and put in that. In fact, that report was supposed to be submitted to the Office of the Presiding Officers 2 days ago. But I requested that, no, I need to interact with you so that we get some of the information. So we're going to pick some of the information, and we're going to raise some critical issues about these matters. We're going to norm up of Nurse Norma Connor, and we're going to criticize of Nurse criticize. So this report is very important, because next week that workshop has to come up with a country report that is going to be presented in the MDG summit, which is going to be in September. So you should know that. But we are going to raise these issues, because if we don't raise them, they will never be addressed. So don't feel embarrassed when we are raising them. You must understand that the purpose of raising these issues is to ensure that they are rectified, they are attended to, they receive the necessary attention they deserve.
No, Chair, bendifuna nje ungqine intoba as tax break, we weren't there as the portfolio. It was few of us, but the chairperson was not there. And we saw a very good work where the minister who was there opened one toilet, and we look around it. That was the first and the last toilet that was very good. Now, Chairperson, another thing that I want to bring up, it's, anyway, it was not, I think it was the launch of the sanitation week. But at the same time, they talk about water. The Georgia tanks that were there, I don't know, I think Eastern Cape shouldn't be worried about water, if those Georgia tank was used. But I think it was just a waste. The other thing, Chairperson, I want to talk to, it's the issue of unconnected toilets from 2001, 2000, now it's 2000, it's 2011. Since 2001, a place called Izola, where they built houses, there is toilets inside. They are not connected. You can see Izola, it's a Tagastat. It's one of the projects that I want the portfolio to go and visit. And I think they're busy doing the third ratification. They're using the same contractor that is doing a shoddy work. Chairperson, I think 2014, when we finish our term, we will see a union settlement development. We will keep on doing e-ratification because we are doing favors for our friends. Thanks, Chairperson.
I want to misrepresentation. I want to say that
kula program ya kula sine meeting yento ye USDG I presentation esa ifana pakwatwa emakhaza I toilets zivaliwe ngizichikiwe kanti uthola le toilet enye eyakhiweyo so I'm trying to say and really these things they make us angry really iy'mpothi zethu zizovela zisithi toilet zakhiwe a day after one toilet let's close the meeting thank you very much honorable members with your participation as well as the department as well as other guests that are with us today but really let's change indlela esisebenza ngayo we need to change thank you very much the meeting is adjourned
concept of science and technology.
What was God saying?
No, but they remember they said it's from
only
one. When we gave them money. We gave them 2.5 million.
You can go yourself and check.
No, I know.
Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you were there.
Yeah, I've got some figures.
You've got
yeah.
Can I access it? What are you going to do?
I can send it to you. I can send it to you.
Okay.
This is quite a big.